This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
I will tell you, those first two student athletes that joined us in hour one, I can't wait to get them back. Right? I mean, just great stories, great personalities, can play, have fun. I mean, you know, that's what it's all about, man. Like I said, when you go by one name, Wes, that's when you know you've arrived from an athlete, right? I mean, if you're in the athletic field, if somebody knows you by one name, you're somebody. But De'Eric and Tiana were just great. Really, really great.
Yep. Outstanding, and looking forward to having them both back, and appreciate them joining us here today on the 1st of July. Kayla Lund from Pitt Volleyball coming up in just a moment. We're going to turn to baseball here in a second, but Pack, on the 1st of July, I feel like it's important. I wish you happy Bobby Bonilla Day.
Yep.
In sports.
$1.9 million every July 1st. Yeah. What a deal. What a smart business deal that was.
Yeah, because the Mets, who agreed to buy out the remaining $6 million of his contract, instead of paying him the $5.9 million at the time, they agreed to make annual payments of nearly $1.2 million for 25 years, starting in 2011. So between now and 2035, every July 1, Bobby Bonilla gets $1.19 million. Now, is that good business or not?
That's a good agent.
And we it's a great agent is what it is. But we transition from that to ESPN.com's all-time college baseball team that was announced last night. And a couple of ACC guys and a couple of Mike Martin guys on the list as ESPN unveiled this group. And both of them are native Georgians who went to Tallahassee to play college baseball. And one of them is totally your guy. And that would be Buster Posey from Leesburg, Georgia, who went to Florida State and was a major star for Mike Martin and the Seminoles and has gone on to world championships with the San Francisco Giants, a team of little or no relevance in current Major League Baseball standards.
Please, tied for first as we speak. Three World Series titles in the last decade, and it's all about Busta, Busta, Busta. You better believe it. He was great at Florida State, and he's obviously going to go on to a Hall of Fame career with the San Francisco Giants. And, again, it's the first of many great ACC catchers that are going to go on to don that Giants uni. We just had Patrick Bailey on the show about a week or so ago. Joey Bart, Georgia Tech. Great catcher. I'm just saying, get ready for it, America. Yep. You can enjoy whatever you want, but this upcoming decade, in about another two or three years, they'll be back winning championships again. But, man, Buster Posey was a great, great player.
Yeah. The other guy on the list of ESPN.com's all-time greatest college baseball players is also a Seminole from Georgia, and that's J.D. Drew, who in the mid-90s, took college baseball by storm. Native of Hayhira, Georgia, J.D. Drew had the kind of college baseball career that it's hard to imagine. He hit .455 with 100 RBIs, 110 runs, and 31 home runs in his college baseball career at Florida State. The guy was just an amazing baseball player. Won the Golden Spikes Award, the Dick Howser Trophy, and was the National Player of the Year by the Sporting News. And ended up, by the way, being a freshman All-America in 95, and it just got better from there, Pack. And was the number one pick in the amateur draft, and a guy who was you hear the term five-tool? Well, J.D. Drew was a five-tool player in the collegiate level and had a long, long major league career with several teams.
Yeah, Mike Martin had a few of them, didn't he? I mean, my goodness, you go through that list. That's why I mentioned the other day when we celebrated the University of Virginia's five-year anniversary of winning a college World Series out in Omaha. The ACC went from 1955 to 2015 without winning the College World Series. And when you go back through history, I'm just telling you, the league produced so many unbelievable teams with coaches and players. It was unbelievable that you could go that long without getting the deal done. And It's been kind of an unlucky spot for the conference, but again, Virginia 5 years ago proved everybody wrong by taking care of business. But it's cool to see both those gentlemen listed on that because it's well-deserved, and they, like I said, are just simply great players.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
We've been talking about anniversaries today, Wes. We just had Tiana on. We've talked about, obviously, the ACC combination of Syracuse, Pitt, and Notre Dame 7 years ago, joining the league 6 years ago for Louisville. While we talk about anniversaries, you and I had some fun the other day. We were going through old programs that have been sent to us, and one of the first ones that we showed was Bobby Purcell, who was wearing those sweet-looking pants, right? Remember that? He just announced his retirement.
Yep.
How about that? So a shout-out to Bobby Purcell, who's been obviously a friend of NC State and the league for a long, long time, and we wish him well keeping it in the short grass.
No question. Bobby Purcell, executive director of the Wolfpack Club, which is the scholarship fundraising arm of NC State Athletics, and a guy who has just been a friend to everybody, not only at NC State and great Wolfpack fans over the years, but also a friend to everybody in the ACC. And a lot of those guys, you know, it's a little bit like the AD World Pack. They're rivals and they, you know, compete to win and things like that. But everybody in the ACC, the collegial feel about the relationships is pretty strong. And Bobby's been a big part of that. He's been a guy that's been a friend to our family for many, many years, especially to my dad. And we wish Bobby all the very best. He's just a tremendous guy, and he's been a real credit to this conference and certainly to the Wolfpack. No question about that.
I thought we'd mention that today because you know, a lot of times time just kind of flies by and you go, oh, man, we forgot to do whatever, whatever. And we try to, again, you and I have said from day one when we started this radio show that's now morphed into this thing, that we try to spread the wealth to everybody in the league. Our goal every day is to literally have an assist to everybody in the conference on every show. Again, we try to do it. Sometimes you get to it. Sometimes you don't. But when you see a story like that, a guy that's meant so much to the league, big picture, again, we wish him nothing but the very best. He deserves a shout.
Hey, Bobby was around in the days of Scott Parsich and Chuck Nevitt and Hawkeye Whitney. Kenny Matthews and Craig Watts. Yep. Huh? How about that?
I like it.
Right there. Bobby knows all those guys.
Yeah, Bobby knew everybody.
Oh, yeah. No
Bobby
question.
Knew everybody.
Bobby knows everybody.
Yeah.
By the way, we don't talk recruiting on here very much, but we let other people do it who follow it on a more regular basis than others, right? But I guess congratulations this morning to Mack Brown in North Carolina because they've landed one of the best rising seniors in all of high school football, a cornerback named Tony Grimes, who, according to our Brian Ives, knower of all things, highest-rated defensive back to commit to any Mack Brown coach team since 24/7 composite rankings began in 2000. So congratulations to Carolina. They land a the recruiting at Carolina has just exploded, as Tom Luganbill told us about 3 weeks ago in one of our he told us a couple weeks ago when he was visiting with us from a camper, as I recall. So there you go.
Well, you know how I feel about recruiting rankings. That's great. It's awesome. Throw a parade. Do whatever you need to do. But I'm more interested once student-athlete gets on campus and we'll find out who wants to compete and who develops. I mean, that's what it's all about. I mean, I could pick a team like I'll just pick one. Georgia, I think, has been in the top three in recruiting the last 4 years. Last time I checked, it's been 40 years since they won anything. So at some point in time, you got to develop them. But obviously, getting good players helps. Mack's off to a great start. You can see Clemson and Dabo, no surprise there. Miami's doing a nice job. And Mike Norvell rallying the troops. Again, it's still early, first go-around and signing and all this stuff. We've had all these dead periods, too, with recruiting. So I'm not a recruiting expert. I don't worry about all this kind of stuff. For the most part, Wes, I'm more interested once you get on campus.
Well, I tell you what, and everybody's told me it's always the integral part of any program's continuity, three in the top 10. In terms of ESPN 300s and the way you look at it, at least so far, some of these schools have done a phenomenal job in the pandemic of still getting really good players to commit to their program for the coming years. And congratulations to Mack Brown and his staff on that. We told you we would hear from Whit Babcock and Blake James, who visited our program yesterday from Virginia Tech and Miami, respectively. And we'll start this review here, in case you missed some of it yesterday, with our commentary and conversation with Blake James, who spoke to us about his and Miami's plans for football to return this fall.
I think the key right there is the next 5 or 6 weeks. And I think it's important for all of us to continue to follow the guidelines that our leaders are putting in place. Again, reminding everyone, we got to wear the mask. We need to do what we can to make sure we have a fall sports season. And that's something that I think we all have that responsibility, both individually, but then us as leaders to communicate that message out. If we want to have college football this fall, which my plan is that we will, I believe the other leaders in our league believe that is the case as we sit here today. But I think everyone is getting more nervous, and obviously we'll have continued conversations. But again, if I think if we all do our part, the odds of us having a fall sports season are a lot higher than what they'd be if that wasn't the case, if we don't do what we need to do.
Well, you know, the first thing I would tell everybody, if you missed that yesterday, is if you're sitting there going, man, Blake James, he's a director of athletics at Miami. It looked like it was 45 degrees down there. He was not in South Beach, right? He was not down at Coral Gables. He was up in Maine. That's the reason why. In fact, I even just got it. I was just sitting here sending a text to somebody who went, man, I can't believe Blake James is wearing a sweatshirt. I can't get the AC down cold. He's in Maine, up there enjoying the 4th of July holiday coming up. But Blake, you know, again, every time we talk to an athletic director, Wes, you get the same sensation of, hey, there are so many options on the table that you can't answer the question really of, hey, are we going to play? What's the date? What are we going to do with fans? Who knows, right? And I know you mentioned July 1st.
Right.
These next 4 to 5 weeks are beyond critical. And so I think anytime you sit there and you kind of hear somebody give you a definitive, there's no way they're playing, or yes, they're definitely playing, you can't worry about that, because we are still gathering information. And all the smart people in the room, they're doing the best they can. And you know what? Hopefully end of the month, early of next month, we'll get some kind of direction of what a season could potentially look like.
Yep. Blake also talked to us yesterday, Pack, about the impending rulings and guidelines and all the things involved from his chair about name, image, and likeness, too.
Well, again, I think it's going to be interesting to see where this all plays out. As you touched on, Florida has signed it into law. I think our leaders did a very good job of understanding some of the differences of college athletics versus the professional game and put some safeguards in place that I think make the Florida law one that will help keep the recruiting and booster involvement out of it. With that said, we can't have different laws for every single state. I do think there needs to be involvement at a national level. I know Senator Rubio introduced legislation to address it on a national issue in the Senate a couple weeks ago now. But that's something that we'll continue to obviously follow and provide our insight and feedback on what we think works. I think everyone recognizes college sports is in the U.S. is the best model in the world. That's why we have young people from all over the world coming to compete at our institutions in this model. Does it need to continue to evolve? Without a doubt, I'm a firm believer that we need to create opportunities for kids to legitimately capitalize on name, image, and likeness. I think in the state of Florida, that's the direction that we've gone, but we need to do that nationally, and I'll continue to work with, whether it's Representative Shalala, who's my representative in South Florida, to the senators, to all our leadership nationally. It's just something that the college sports needs to continue to evolve. It's going to evolve. We signed it into law in California and Florida, and we'll continue to work with the leadership in Washington, D.C. to hopefully get the best system in place as possible to save the long-term viability and opportunities for young people in college athletics, because I think if some steps aren't taken, we could see real severe challenges for schools to continue to offer the amount of opportunities that they do across the board.
And by the way, the hoodie game in this league is really good, right? Right now, I would say Duke-Miami are the best-looking hoodies I've seen here in the last couple months. And you don't normally think of hoodies down there in University of Miami, but Blake James with some very, very interesting comments. And again, pay attention when smart people are talking, which is one of our problems, by the way.
Yeah. Well, Whip Babcock also joined us yesterday, and he, I thought, and I said this earlier in the show, incredibly candid about the process that he and his staff have gone through to help ensure that Virginia Tech will be ready when the season begins. But he also talked about how football relates and drives essentially the rest of the fall schedule for the Hokies.
Correct. You guys nailed it again. And again, all those exercises with your staff and people and practice facilities and cleaning and phasing in and your medical directors and communicating with campus and the health department and on and on and on. So it is a lot of moving parts, but yes, we have plans for all of them. If your young person plays soccer, that's the most important sport on our campus. If they play baseball, that one is. So we know football needs to get going and drives the ship, and we have to do that. But there is something to a broad-based athletic program, and the ACC has really helped elevate Virginia Tech's game, and we like to win in those sports too.
Spot on.
Good stuff from Whip Babcock, Pack.
Yep, no doubt about it. And I thought he was very, as you mentioned, he was honest and candid with the answer when he said, you know, I don't know. When we start talking about what do you think, are we going, are we not going? I mean, nobody has an answer to date. And I just keep emphasizing that because I hear it enough on the afternoon radio show about, oh, my God, there's not going to be a season. What's that based on? Well, so-and-so, a doctor. I don't want to hear about a doctor that doesn't play a sport. You know, there are other issues for that doctor to worry about. Let's figure out what the athletic departments are going to do, what the commissioners are talking about. We may not have it. I have no idea. But, you know, you're not going to know that answer on July the 1st. That I know for a fact.
Yeah. By the way, one more news item here before we get to the bottom of the hour, and Kayla Lund from Pittsburgh's volleyball program will join us here in just a second. Duke University officially announced their return dates yesterday. Football is July 12th, and that'll be the first phase move-in for Duke. And then you see 9 days later, women's soccer, 15 days later, volleyball. A couple days after that, three more sports. The tentative return date for men's and women's basketball is August the 2nd. Now, Pack, I think this is along the same lines of what Mike Bray was talking to us about last week, right? I mean, that 1st of August, kind of for Notre Dame basketball, and I remember football was, first week in July, like July 8th, July 9th type deal. So Duke taking kind of that same track. And remember, Notre Dame's talking about beginning the semester August the 10th. I think I'm not confident on Duke's start date, but I think a lot of these schools are backing up into that second week of August, right? As the beginning of the fall semester, right?
And also keep in mind too, our states are operating at different paces. I mean, for example, I know it doesn't affect the ACC, but the state of Arizona said, hey, we're going to just pass a little bit on this phase of reopening, and schools like University of Arizona, Arizona State kind of found themselves in a situation like, yikes, now what do we do? So it's a very complex situation. Again, we have 10 different states in the ACC footprint, and I'm including Notre Dame here, obviously. And again, what's happening in New York's different than Florida, which is different than North or South Carolina. We'll just have to take it slow and surely. So, again, Duke unveiled the dates. Hopefully everything's good to go on that front. But, again, you just have to take one day at a time with this one.
This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Packer and Durham on a Wednesday, July the 1st, the first day of the second half of 2020. Surely it's going to be better. 844-SAY-ACCN is the number, all right? 844-SAY-ACCN. We've been going with all these stars going by one names, right? Derek, Tiana. We're now going for round two of our next guest because Kayla Lund.
Hey.
Kayla. She was a star the first time she was on with us, and there she is. She is back at Pitt. Kayla, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
We're good. How are you doing?
We're great. Kate? Yeah, how are you?
I'm doing good. Really happy to be back. Grateful to be back on campus. We're doing some distancing, so haven't really been able to see my girls or won't be able to see my coaches for a little bit, but nonetheless, it's good to be back. I feel like I'm back at home.
All right, I got to show you something that your athletics director sent Packer and me.
Okay.
Pack, show her what Heather Light sent us. Kayla, you ever seen this yet? You seen this deal yet?
So
look at this.
The big The big version of that is in our Peterson Event Center, but that's a cool little personalized one. I've never seen one of those before. Yeah. So I love that.
Big time right there.
Wait, yeah. there's one bigger than that?
It's in the Peterson Event Center. It's massive. It's like fills up my bedroom. It's so big.
By the way, speaking of the bedroom, I couldn't help but notice the tapestry that you've got behind you. We just got done talking to Tiana from Australia, which is right there over your shoulder. What is that piece of student art that you've got going on right there?
This is literally just a tapestry. Maybe I go like this. Hung it up in my wall.
This is good. I like this.
All right.
There we go.
Oh, there we go. So, okay.
Wow.
What's that? Wow. Huh.
Yeah. I literally got this off of like Amazon.
Did you get it because you liked it, or it took up so much space?
Both.
Yeah. There you go.
All right. Now, here's the other thing too, Pac. Did you notice this? We have the Amazon sheet of the world over her right shoulder, and over her left shoulder, tucked away behind some abstract Christmas lights, is that the ACC Player of the Year trophy back there in the corner?
Oh my gosh. Yeah, so I can't believe that. So here, a small little trophy case.
You know, this is when you know you're a player, when you take the ACC Player of the Year award and you use it for like a doorstop. I mean, that's when you know that you're a big time player. I got one of those. I got other things I'm worried about now as opposed to that stuff. That's cool. I love it.
Thank you.
You know, last time we had you on the show, we always asked the question about the toughest course you've ever had. And I just reminded you before we went back on the air that you're the only person and the only student athlete. We've done 162 shows. You're the only student athlete that has answered the question, Russian fairy tales. Now, since the last time we saw you, heaven forbid, during this pandemic, did you just happen to say, you know what, I'm bored to tears with mom and dad out there in beautiful Pasadena. Let me just go grab some Russian fairy tales. Please tell me you haven't done that.
Absolutely not.
Okay.
I hope I never have to deal with anything like that course again.
That was great. What an answer.
Kayla, we have heard so much about college sports coming back, and 95% of it is geared toward football, and I understand that. But there are a lot of fall sports, and yours being one of them, that are very prominent on college campuses. What's that been like? What's the uncertainty of a volleyball season mean to Kayla Lund right now?
So it's obviously in the back of my head, and taking it day by day is definitely important, and just treating it and working out and having the mental aspect that season will happen and prepare for it. But, you know, of course, it's in the back of my head trying to be realistic about it. And for my case, if season does not happen, that would be worst case scenario. But for me, I would redshirt and I would do another year at Pitt, no doubt. And so for that to be the worst case scenario, that gives me a lot of comfort, just thinking like, okay, worst case, I get to stay another year at somewhere that I love, and I get to spend a whole nother year at Pitt playing for Pitt Volleyball. Honestly, it kind of sounds like a good deal. So, of course, I would love for my senior season to happen with this squad and just have it be as normal as possible. But like I said, worst case, I stay another year. We figure it out with school, redshirt-wise, and you know, I would be lucky enough to stay another year. So right now I'm just, again, taking it day by day, but either way, it doesn't seem like a bad option, whatever happens.
Yeah. I was going to say, you know what, hanging out in school with your buds, playing a sport that you love, getting a great education, that's a pretty good life. Got to be honest with you.
Absolutely.
I think all of us old folks look back to that and go, oh my God, it was the best 4 years of my life and everything else. You know, it's also interesting too right now, Kayla, with student athletes having a platform to be heard. We've talked about the leverage and the power of the student athlete today is as great as it's ever been. We've got all this racial and social unrest. I'm curious from your perspective. Now, you said, hey, I couldn't wait to get back to see my buds and everything else at Pitt. What's it like knowing that, hey, number one, you got experience, you're a senior, you've been down the road as far as knowing what that's all about, you're getting ready to eventually get your degree, but also having the opportunity to be heard. I'm curious, the world that you live in, we know the athletic part of it. How about the social part of it from that stance?
Yeah, I think it's awesome that you, especially within the past couple of weeks, within the past couple of months, that you're starting to hear a lot of athlete voices and not just talking about their sport or athletics. I think a lot of times you see athletes and you just see them for who they are as an athlete, when of course we are much more than that. And luckily with volleyball, I don't think we feel really put in the spotlight of just being an athlete a lot. I think because we have a little bit of a smaller fan base that we are treated a little bit more like people. Whereas I think I have seen personally, like in the media and just with more like football, basketball players, because they are such big money-making sports, that they are treated like the money that they are being made. And so within these past couple months, whether it is about athletics, whether it is about the racial injustices going on, or whether it's about coronavirus, and you're just hearing all of these athlete voices speak up for what they really believe and not holding back, I think it's really cool, and it's really cool to be a part of that and be able to voice my own opinion without feeling like I need to like monitor myself or really hold back any beliefs that I have. So it's been a really cool experience. I think we're seeing a lot more of it every day. So it's a special thing going on.
How important, Kayla, in this process is the, I mean, we've heard a lot about coaches having Zoom calls with teams and so forth, and I think all that stuff's very important. But the open lines of communication now, to where there's that coach and student-athlete relationship, but now there's almost that circle, if you will. There's not a level of it. It's all together. I mean, it seems like that coaches and athletic directors, older people like us, are in a listening situation as much as we are in a speaking situation about this. And I think that's probably pretty important if everybody's going to be understanding of the activism that's going on.
Yeah, I agree. I think social media plays such a huge role in this day of age. So a lot of young people, we all have social media. We all use that almost like as our news source. We use that as our way to communicate to everybody. And so being able to have a platform through social media is awesome. And having our coaches to have social media is also awesome, because they are totally in the loop and they love us using our social media, to reach out to fans, to reach out to all kinds of athletics, all kinds of people. And then through Zoom calls, really being able to use Zoom calls, during when we were at home, and even these couple weeks when we're in quarantine, has been really special. And the use of FaceTime is also really special. And just being able to send a quick text during these past couple months have been really cool. And, you know, it hasn't been easy to do a lot of volleyball during these couple months, but volleyball is such a team sport. So even if we can't play volleyball, how are we getting better as a team? How are we still communicating? How are we growing, not just as individuals during this like alone time, but as just a team? And so these Zoom calls and communicating with our coaches and using social media if we need has been really helpful, I think, for our team dynamic, for our team chemistry. And I personally think that when we finally get back on the court and we dust the rust off a little bit, that we'll be a lot closer and a lot, we'll just be a lot closer as a team, not only on the court, but off.
Kayla, I'm going to put you on the spot because I kind of feel like we know you now. Now that you're a grizzled veteran of Packer and Durham,
okay.
Who is the most impressive student athlete that you've run into at Pitt? That you just could be a he or she. I don't know. You're going to answer the question however you want. But in terms of leadership, smart, obviously talented, does the job in the classroom, does the job on the court, on the field, wherever. Who's the one person, if I say that to you on your campus right now, you go, you need to know, fill in the blank.
So my answer might be a little biased, but this is the first person that pops into my head. She's my best friend. She, Inde, Chinaze, Pere, Nicole Inde. She is my year. She is on the med school track, hoping to go to med school after volleyball. She is a huge leader on our team. I love her. She inspires me not only on the court, but off the court. Her academics is such a priority to her, and she's a genius, and I go to her for a lot when it comes to academics. And I might be biased because she's volleyball, but she's brilliant, and she's an amazing person as well. Now, I know there are a lot of other student athletes that are also have amazing grades and get continuous 4.0, so I can't think of names off the bat, but I know they're out there. But it's cool to have Chi on my team, who's like right next to me, be that person.
I like it.
We've covered a lot of ground here once again in your second appearance on this show, so we appreciate that. I will ask this tough question. I know last year did not end the way you guys wanted it to. How do you think that is going to impact what this season could be for Coach Fisher and the rest of your teammates?
So it definitely adds some motivation, and especially for, I think, the girls that were out there on the court, and we're returning a lot of them. But with that being said, it's also going to be a completely new year. It's going to be a completely new team, and we have a little bit of a different mindset going into it. Last year, the ending was heartbreaking. We were crushed, but I also don't think, looking back at it now, that we really deserve to go on based on the way that we had played. And so it kind of would have been one of those things where you won, but did you really win, or did you lose type of thing. So I just think it adds so much more motivation. I think we've gone through a lot of personal growth during this time, and especially while we were actually back on campus last spring, the improvement that we have had from being through the freshmen all the way up to our seniors, or I guess that's us now, which is crazy to think about, but just the improvement that we all went through as individuals and as a team was really cool to see. And so the loss of last year is kind of in the back of a head as a just a push and a motivator, but it's also just to remind us, hey, like, we never want to feel that feeling again. We don't want to be there again. Let's do whatever we can in our power to make sure that we aren't in that same position, that we have a different mindset going into not only this season, but when we get into the NCAA tournament.
That's well said.
Hey, Kayla, those 4 years go pretty quick, don't they?
Oh my gosh. I would do it all over again if I could. I would absolutely be a freshman right now if I could.
I love it. Well, it's great seeing you. Stay healthy.
Thank you. You guys too. Thanks for having me. Hail to Pitt.
All right. Kayla Lunn, one of the great stars of volleyball in the Atlantic Coast Conference, ACC Player of the Year a season ago for Coach Fisher and Pittsburgh.
Packer and Durham.
Packer and Durham, final segment on Wednesday's show. Wes, before we get to the confessional here in a second, I will just tell you, we had De'Eric, Tiana, and Kayla, three student athletes, and those three, to me, represent what makes this league different than everybody else's. So we can talk about teams and championships. The league has no problem with that. But the quality of the student athlete in this league is tremendous. And I brag about that all the time to folks that go, man, what's it like? The best thing about, hey, the coaches and all that stuff, we know who they are. But the student athletes in this league are really, really impressive. And today's show, to me, is a perfect testament in every sense of the word. All three of those student athletes today were tremendous on the air.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree with you more. And we appreciate all of them spending time with us as they look to get back to normalcy, right? Because that's going to be part of this too here in the next couple weeks. Don't forget, we always take your video mailbag questions. Use the hashtag Packer and Durham on Twitter. Shoot the video horizontally, not vertically. There you go. That's right. Well done, Pack. And maybe your question or comment makes the air on tomorrow or Friday's show. And we will be here tomorrow and Friday as well as Monday. No holiday for us, Pac. Absolutely not. July 4th on a Saturday. No, we work. That's exactly right. Let's get to today's quarantine confessional. We've had a lot of things go on in this, but I think we see kids for the first time. Here's Eric Wood.
Hey, Packer and Durham. Welcome to the Wood household. This is Grace and this is Garrett, and I have a quarantine confession to make. During the quarantine, I thought that I was going to get to a scratch golfer, and instead my handicap has actually gone up. We have taken a lot of swim lessons during this time. Grace, do you want to show him a cannonball? Yeah. All right, let's see it. Awesome job, girl. Awesome job. We miss you guys. I can't wait till we all get to get back together in person. Guys, can you say bye, Packer and Durham?
Bye, Durham.
See you guys.
I like it. By the way,
that's the third set of kids.
Right. We've seen family members. I like that, though. I would never guess that's Eric Wood's kid, ever. In a million years. Never guess.
You're right.
I look just like him. Look.
I know.
I just like him.
I know. Look, the curly hair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kids are great. Love it.
By the way, that's a really nice pool Eric's got at his subdivision.
Yeah, that's the.
I don't think so.
Now wait a minute. Now, isn't that the same subdivision in Louisville where we got people TP in other people's yards? In it, right? We got Coach Mack out there giving the business to Satterfield, and Tyree's down the street too, isn't he? And everybody in the same neighborhood.
Yeah, in fact, Jen, if you can put that picture back up again, I think they've got a little stage back there for a live Packer and Durham show one day. Doesn't that look like chairs? I see the chairs already there, right?
Well, we could definitely do that. Even though the Kentucky Derby is still going to get priority one, and then we'll go to Wood's house and check that out. No question. No doubt.
All right, do we have time for Mark Packer Swing Academy?
Uh-oh.
I want to make sure we get this in. All right, Pack, once again, we're going to put you on the clock. A week ago or so, you broke down a swing. Here is Jordan Cornette, Pack.
Oof. Well, couple things here. Number one, the shoulder rotation needs a lot of work. I mean, you got to turn the shoulders, my man. The balance, I'm a little worried about too. You got to get in the backside. I tell you, got a lot of work to do there. We got balance issues
coming off that club.
Yeah,
right?
we got a little balance issue there, Jordan. You can tell he's been doing a lot of yard work. That swing, a lot of yard work.
Can we go back to the hunched over approach that Jordan Cornette's got going there, A little lean in?
I'm more concerned with the shoulder rotation. I mean, you got to get that thing back 90 degrees, man. That's like a 30 degree. I'm too tired, too lazy to move back there. My body doesn't move like it used to move. I mean, I got that one today.
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, SiriusXM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.